we move into this new year, especially this new year's sermon, the word that God has given unto us, okay? It's unwise to think that the older that you become in the Lord, let's say, more mature, whatnot, that it becomes easier to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit and also discern sometimes the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not difficult to discern the will of God because the Word of God is the will of God. Amen? But when we look at, you think, well, when you get mature, it's just easier. But you know, the opposite of that is true. In my ministry, when I was a young man, or just in my walk before I ever became a pastor, it would seem like the Holy Spirit would it was just left and right, give me so much, and it was like a paragraph or a book. And now when you get older, it's like, you have to grow up. Amen. So you keep growing up, and so instead of the word that the Lord, or whatever the Holy Spirit, how he's leading, comes in waves, it almost just comes in a drip. In other words, instead of a paragraph, you might get a sentence if you're lucky, but it may be just only a word, just a few bits of guidance. D.E. Host says this about what I just said. He says, oh, the pressure. It goes on from stage to stage. It changes in every period of your life. In other words, you heard me say it all the time. Every decade is different. And then Hudson Taylor said this about what I just said. He said, in his younger days, things came so clearly and so quickly to me. But now that I've gone on and aged and gone on with God using me, I seem often to be like a man in a fog. I do not know what to do. Loved one, I identify with that. Amen. Like you cannot imagine. You know, the last few years, of bringing forth the New Year's sermon to this body called Calvary Chapel, it seems like every year it becomes much more difficult to understand the word that the Lord has given unto me. And, I know that every year, how he stretches our faith, amen, and bids us to get out of the boat like Peter and walk on water with him. But I want to rehearse a few things with you before we get into the message this morning. And I'd like to take you back about how the sermons or the New Year's word gets harder and harder instead of easier and easier. Remember the word for 2018. It was the only time in my entire ministry that I begged God not to teach it. And remember, it was from Malachi 3:10, bring all of your tithes into the storehouse, and so forth, and prove me now and test me in this, that if I'll not open the windows of heaven for you. You know what I'm saying? Remember that scripture? Everybody hates that scripture. And I said, Lord, why did you give us that word? I mean, I've never, in 35 years of ministry, I've never stood before people and asked them for anything, especially the money, except for the work that we do in our outreach. You know what I'm talking about. Amen? Okay. So, and I was looking at that. And of course, the theme of Malachi 3:10, people get they misunderstand it. The theme of Malachi 3:10 is not tithing. Tithing is included. But the theme of Malachi 3:10 is the faithfulness of God. He says, prove my worth. Prove me now. Do what I say and trust me that I'll bring it to pass. Remember how I would not, you that were with me, remember how I didn't want to, and it was Friday morning and I was supposed to be at the church, but the plumber was coming. Remember all that? And I just said, Lord, I was in my study waiting on the plumber, begging God. I said, I don't understand it. I don't know. I'm not getting it, Lord. I just don't want to do it. And then I got a phone call and says, Bill, what's your address? And I said, why? And I said, well, I want to bring you something. And I thought, I'm going to have counseling, and I don't want to do that. I said, I've got to get to the church. And so the person comes to the door, and he's weeping. And I'm going, okay, it's counseling, And I said, and I'm going, why are you weeping? And he says, do you know how blessed it is to give? I said, no. What do you mean? Are you setting me up? What are you doing? And so anyway, he says, God loves a cheerful giver. I said, yes, he does. And he hands me an envelope. We sit down on the couch and he says, open it up. And I said, what is this? He says, it's for the church you pastor, a gift. I said, really? I said, well, I never look at that kind of stuff. I said, let me just turn it in. He says, open it. I said, all right. And there I was, as you already know, in the other room, begging God not for this sermon, you know, in 2018. All of a sudden, I opened that envelope, and you know the story. There was over $211,000 in there for this church. You see, I wanted to be disobedient. I didn't understand. The moment that he handed me the envelope, I opened it. The Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, the moment that I gave you the word for 2018, I opened the windows of heaven for Calvary Chapel. Amen. That's what he did, remember? He proved it to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I wasn't going to do it. No, I mean, how many of you walked into somebody saying, here's $217,000? Come on. Hello. And I'm going, oh, God, I repented. I did. I started weeping right there in my house. And so with all that being said, then I knew that the 2017 New Year's message birthed the 2018 message. Meaning, remember, 2017 was a year of passionate, persistent prayer. And then came 2019. Remember what the Lord said? What you do in 2018 is for 2019. Do y'all remember that? And what did we do? Candy Lane Christmas, remember? And what amazing. In other words, 2019, the whirlwind. Here's the word was given to us for the New Year's sermon. A whirlwind is coming. The harvest is ripe. Prepare. Well, you know what? When I got that word, I thought God was judging me. Because if you look up the word whirlwind in the Bible, it's not happy. You know what I'm saying? But there are a few good verses. And then after I prayed through, you know the story. The Lord spoke to me. I was shaving. Now, I'm not saying I hear God all the time. Please don't start thinking that kind of stuff, okay? I'm just like you. Matter of fact, I'm so dumb God has to speak to me, okay? I mean, because I don't get it. And the Lord said, God, Bill, you're stupid. Come on, let me help you. Now, listen. And so there I am. I'm shaving. And all of a sudden, the words Candy Cane Lane come into my heart. And I look at my wife and I said, why would I think of Candy Cane Lane, which is right out front? I don't have time to tell you the story. Go get the message. Now, with all that being said, I walk into the fire marshal's office, remember? And so I'm talking to him about, because of the building, we're building the barn and all that. And so I said, how long have you been in Homestead? He said, 30 years. I said, you ever heard of Candy Cane Lane? He said, never had. But his secretary was eavesdropping. She was in the room and she walked in and said, who are you? I said, why? She said, how do you know about Candy Cane Lane? To make a long story short, it was her father that started it here, okay? So then I knew that the Lord was doing something. I don't have COVID, but I have horrible allergies, okay? Just letting you know. With all that being said, it became the greatest outreach in the history of this church for single mothers raising their children and grandparents raising their children's children. And remember what it cost? $150,000 to do that for all those mothers. It was incredible. What a great time. Amen. And here's what I want you to see now. Listen very carefully. Is that this? Was God faithful? Amen. Okay, the $150,000, listen to me. Here's how faithful God was. Not one penny came out of the church budget. Not one penny. People were giving, even the radio stations that I'm on and so forth, people were giving, I want to be a part of this. It was unbelievable to see how God proved himself and how we moved into that like God told us to do. And then, of course, there in 2020, from that became the tent called Free. And that's ministries, which is now coming back again. But what happened? We only went out twice with the tents and 10 people were saved, but then COVID hit and then we were shut down. Remember? Now, and then in 2021, the beginning, the New Year's word relaunch. Remember? In other words, all hands on deck. Get out of the, come on back. We're reopening both services and the kids' church and so forth. And you know the story. 50% of the church decided to not come back. Amen? And so, okay, praise the Lord. I hope they're someplace else. And then after much prayer, when I realized all of that, the Lord spoke to me again in 2021. From relaunch, he gave me another word, the second word, August 22nd, 2021, and the word was rebuild. Two words in 1 year. Now, here I stand right now with the word for 2022. But never have I ever received the word that I just received from the Lord or have received from the Lord. I've never received three words from God ever in 1 year concerning the church. Does that make sense? I received the word for 2022 in October. Matter of fact, it was Sunday, October 24th, 7 a.m. I was preparing to leave to come here and teach, of course. The Lord spoke one word into my heart. I immediately went into my study at home, which is the laundry room, by the way, and I recorded it in my journal. Now listen, you know that I am certainly not anything or anyone. I'm not a prophet or any of that kind of junk. Amen? That's not junk. But are y'all with me? You're going to have some childlike faith this morning. Is that right? Okay. Now listen, but you know what? I have a specific word for a specific people, you, God does, for a specific purpose. Now, I'm only going to declare it because I don't know how to define exactly what God's going to do, and neither do you. Amen? So I'll declare it this morning, but I will not define it, okay? And here's what I'm asking you to do. You must do this. You must judge everything I'm saying. You will be amiss if you do not do this. But before I get into what I want to talk to you about, I want to ask you a question. The word that I've brought forth over the years, and let's just take the last 3 years, have they all proven true? Yes. Every one of them. What God has said, God has done. Amen? God, you know how incredible that is? Now listen, I say all that to say this. Long before I ever became a pastor, for some reason in my life, I always prayed, if I became a Christian, I said, Lord, it's a new year. You have a specific word for me, and so forth. And if I felt, I'd write it down, and then I would go through and just start, okay, Lord, I'm going to move in that direction, and so forth. And then when I was called into the ministry, it carried over into the church that I pastored before, and this one here as well. And here's what I want you to know about this word. I have agonized over it. Matter of fact, when we had our staff dinner Wednesday night, I told them my heart. I said, I don't want to teach this word. I said, I don't understand it, and I've just agonized and I've struggled. And matter of fact, I complained in prayer to God. Matter of fact, I complained this morning to God. I complained in my office before coming out here to God. Do you understand? For the first service, not now. But that's just the honest truth about this word. But something happened in my prayer time. On Tuesday morning, December 28th, I put everything in my journal, by the way, of 2021, okay, a few days ago. The Lord just spoke in a rush to my heart, like a message, you know? I'm not saying I heard an audible voice, come on, but I'm saying I just knew it was God. You know when it's the Lord. And I ran to my study and I wrote down what he told me. And it says, you did not choose to pray for a word every year like you think. I chose you to do this, and I chose you to do that for this day. I did it for a reason, that through the years you would learn to trust me and know that the word that I gave you was true and that it would come to pass. Now all these years later, the word that I gave you for 2022, you're going to have to trust me one more time. So I encourage you to open your ears I encourage you to judge everything I said. I told you last Sunday when I closed out 1 Thessalonians, I said that, you know, I don't want you to look at 2022 as a new year, even though it is, but a beginning of a season in our lives, okay? A new season, if you will. And I gave you these scriptures from Ecclesiastes 3:1 and also verse 8 that says, to everything there is a season. A season, loved one, is a fixed portion of time. Does that make sense? Okay. It says, to everything there is a season or a fixed portion of time, and there is a time, that time is the beginning of the season or that period, a time for every purpose under heaven, time to love, hate, time of war, time of peace. Now, with all that being said, I want you to really have childlike faith now and listen to the scriptures and the words that I'm going to be giving you. Would you say that Jesus, our Lord, at his first coming, would you say that he brought an incredible revolution to planet Earth? He started out with 12, and one of them was a demon, you understand? And it's so small, and has it grown? Has it covered the entire planet? Oh, loved one, listen, that's a revolution. Think about this. Jesus, when he came, the Son of the living God, what did he say? First words out of his mouth, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It's right now. That's what Jesus did. Listen, Jesus, it's revolutionary, the things that he said. How would you like me? Here I am. I'm walking up to you, sir. And you know what? I look just like a man because I am a man. Jesus was a man. He was the God-man. And if I looked at you just out of nowhere, just walked up and said, hey, Nicodemus, and I know that's not your name, you must be born again. Do you think that you would go, who do you think you are? No, come on. Yes. Is that revolutionary? Yes. What did Nicodemus say? You what now? Born again? Born again? Do I crawl back into my mama's womb? Remember what he said? Listen, that's revolutionary talk. But it hasn't changed, but it's not a revolution to us today. We just say, okay, that's what Jesus said. No, Jesus said a divine must. That is revolutionary. He said, you must be born again. How would you like Jesus to walk up to you and say, you know, and you're looking him in the eyes, and he says, I'm the light of the world. And if you follow me, if you travel with me, you will never walk in darkness. Is that revolutionary? No. Think about it. You mean you're the light of the world? Well, I don't see any light going off. I mean, if I follow you, I'll never ever walk in darkness? That's right. Is that revolutionary, loved one? Oh, listen, how about this one? If you just believe in me, if you just, Mario, if you just believe in me, you'll never perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you see how revolutionary that was and still is, loved one? I mean, can you imagine hanging out with a guy and meeting a man that goes, hey, I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life. I'm the door to the sheep. I'm the resurrection and the life. No man goes to the Father. I'm the way, the truth, the life. No man can go to the Father except through me. Are you listening? I go, Lord, man, here he is. He defeated God's greatest enemy, our greatest enemy, the devil, by dying upon the cross, raised from the dead, ascended unto heaven, all power and all authority. And then what did he do, this man? He created a new, in himself, a new man that never existed before, a brand new community called the body of Christ, taking the two, Jew and Gentile, and making them one. Is that not revolutionary? You see, we're not thinking like our Lord. You talk about a revolution. Listen to what Jesus said. He said this, whoever slaps you on the right side of the cheek, punch that guy out. What does he say to do? Do you think he got somebody's attention? You mean, Lord, if this guy slaps me on the one cheek, you told me to give him the other? How about this one? This is radical. He said this, love your enemies. Do you love your enemies? Look at him. Look at the Son of God. He's looking, he's talking right now, just like I am, and he's looking out. Love your enemies. It gets worse. Bless those who curse you. Oh, do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Is that revolutionary? Of course it is. He said this, if you're angry with your brother, he said it's the same as you committing murder. Think about that. That is revolutionary talk. Jesus said this. He says, if your eye causes you to sin, what are you supposed to do with it? Have you done that lately? If your right hand causes you to sin, what are you to do? Whack. Left one, that is revolutionary talk. Man, listen, and you want to get revolutionary, listen to this one. Jesus said, don't worry about your life. That's what you're most concerned with. Don't worry about what you're most concerned with. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Amen? He says, now this is revolutionary. You know what he said to do? Just go look at the birds. Just go look at the flowers, the lilies of the field. Are you following me? Jesus brought a revolution to this planet. No, matter of fact, if you get to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, loved one, listen to me now. It says that the people were astonished at his teaching. Now, the question is this. Is that radical enough for you? How about these scriptures? Let me give it to you. Luke 12:49. Jesus said, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Hello? How about this one, Luke 12:51. Do you suppose Jesus said, I came to give peace on earth? Well, that's what they said, you know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You know, remember the angels. He says, do you think I came to give peace on earth? And listen to what Jesus said. He says, I tell you, not at all, but rather division. Listen to Matthew's gospel, 10:34. Jesus says, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. A sword cuts in two. A sword divides an object. Are you listening to me? Oh, listen. Jesus said this in Luke 12:52. From now on, what a word. He who has all authority, but they didn't know that. He says, from now on, listen, five in one home, five in one house will be divided. Three against two, two against three. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against mother-in-law, daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. Wow. Five in one house. You see, a family that's rend, divided by the sword. Why? Because two different natures now. One's born again, one is not born again. One is in darkness, one is in light. Are you following me? That's the way it is then. That is the way it is right now. I call that a revolution. And then Jesus did something. He bid others, commanded others to follow him. Leave your nets, Peter, John, leave them. Come follow me. I want to make you fishers of men. Same thing with us. He's called us. Amen. He called us and said, listen, I want you to commit yourselves 100% now to my revolution. I want you to live it until the day I come back and return. Jesus says, I want you to be a part of my kingdom. I want to endue you with power from up on high so you can be my witnesses all over the face of the earth. Amen. Is Jesus your Lord? Yes. Is Jesus your Savior? Yes. Well, here's another one. Is Jesus your King? Yes. You know, Jesus said in Luke 6:46, He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I ask you to do? Change is coming. Jesus is King, the King. He was standing before Pilate, and he was bloody, and he was beaten. You could barely recognize him. And Pilate, in John's Gospel, the 18th chapter, the 33rd verse, Pilate said, are you the King of the Jews? In other words, Pilate was actually saying, you don't look like much of a king to me. And then Pilate therefore said to him, well, are you a king then? And Jesus said, you rightly say that I am a king. In other words, yes, I am a king. And for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. In other words, my kingdom is one of all truth. And then Jesus says this to Pilate, to us, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth, who believes in the truth, who has received the truth, Jesus said, hears my voice. Jesus said in John 10:27, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They don't follow the voice of a stranger. They don't follow the voice of the world. Jesus, they follow me. The things that I'm about to say, I say full of love, and I'm going to speak the truth in love. Jesus said, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Well, I'll tell you what, the American church isn't hearing very well. Do you understand? Is Calvary Chapel, are we hearing very well? Jesus said, he who has ear to hear, let him hear. But the problem with the church today is they are so gifted at listening sometimes with just half an ear. Do you understand? They know how to close their ears up. Listen, the only time that a Christian's ear today is really open is when you hear things like, God loves you. God forgives you. He will, man, he's going to make it happen. You're blessed. You know what I'm saying. But in your ears, man, you can hear very clearly. But whenever you hear things like, serve me, give up this, go where I tell you to go, take up your cross, and you come and follow me, you know what happens to the church? All of a sudden, they have a hearing problem. They're not hearing too well, loved one. And you know why? Scripture tells us why. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore we, the church, the believer, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, past tense. We have heard, lest we drift away. We have to give more earnest heed to what we have heard, lest we drift away. That's a picture of a ring just slipping off your finger, totally unnoticed. Where's my ring? What happened to it? It's a picture of like a sailor taking his boat, if you will, or someone taking their boat up to the dock, tying it up, you know, and leaving. But they tied it up carelessly, and the boat starts drifting away. But it starts drifting away unnoticed. There are many in the church, maybe in this church, loved one, you have drifted away from prayer. You've drifted away from true Bible study. Matter of fact, you watch Netflix and TV many more hours than you ever spend in the Word of God. Oh, you've drifted away from thinking that church is not really that important, that I can show up when I want to, that it's not really vital. You know, that you're part of a kingdom, but I can kind of be in my kingdom too. And no, you can't not do those things. That means you're drifting away and you don't really notice it. It means that you're leaving your first love. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 5:11, it says, of whom we have much to say, hard to explain, not because they're not smart, or lack of intelligence. Hard to explain, and here's the reason. Since you have become dull of hearing. The word dull means you have lazy ears. Does that make sense? So dull of hearing. Can you imagine that? There was so much the writer of Hebrews wanted to tell this group, this group of believers, but he couldn't because their ears, they wouldn't listen anymore. They have become. That means they used not to be, but it's gradual. See, dullness of hearing to the believer, you hear it over and over and it just becomes dull. It doesn't strike into your heart because everything else is already in your heart except what needs to be in your heart. The cares of this life, the cares of this world. No, there has to be a change, loved one. Oh, and I say, Lord, you know, listen, we've entered into a season now, a season that we've never been in before, and you have to open your ears. The Christian mindset today is just like COVID. It really is just like COVID. In other words, it just keeps on mutating. We have in the church one new variant after another new variant. Do you understand? That's exactly what's happening, and it's infected the church. If you don't believe me, just turn on the TV. Everybody's a cookie cutter of one another. Come on. We do cookie cutter music. We do cookie cutter dread. Come on. What's wrong with us? We got to have the smoke. We got to have the lights. What's wrong with us? Oh, and I go, Lord, help us. And here's what's happening. The American church has been and continues to redefine true Christianity. And I'm going to tell you, everything in this world is designed. Everything out that door, loved one, is designed to entertain you and designed to take you away from God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the precious Word of God. Did you know that? And guess what? And that has mutated. That variant has entered into the church. The Christian mindset today believes that Christianity revolves around me and caters to me. Is that Bible? That's not Bible. You know what's happening? We've conformed the church. We've conformed Jesus into our image. Into our image. We're not being conformed into His image. If we were, we would be more like Him. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen, many Christians believe today because they've never been taught the Word of God correctly that the church, you, the church exists for me. You're here to serve me. No, you, if you're born again, you exist to serve the body of Christ. That's what the Bible teaches us. And I say this tenderly again, and I say it with much love. I've said it before, but today, more than any other time in the history of Christendom, the church today is more selfish and more self-centered than the world that we live in, the fallen world that we live in. Open your ears. Here is the word that God, that one word that God spoke into my heart. If I said it in Latin, it would mean turn around. But if I said it in our language, it would simply mean this, revolution. Say that with me, revolution. That is the word for 2022. Revolution, let me just give you a few examples. A change in the way a country is governed, okay? It usually is a different political system, often using violence or war. Whew. Here's revolution used as a noun. A change, a very important change in the way that people do things. It's a turnaround. It's a revolution, if you will. Revolution corrects an unacceptable situation. You don't need a New Year's resolution. You're not going to keep it anyway. There's only one word you need for 2022, and that is revolution, which means a church that is sold out to Jesus Christ, that it lives for Jesus Christ, that's all they want is Jesus Christ. Amen. It means that God has given us a specific word for a specific church. That is us, this local assembly here, a word because we have a calling and you have to do something. You have to join the revolution. You see, a revolution is when a person, a people, they rise up and they say, enough is enough. They have to take back. You say, I am taking back what rightfully belongs to me. I said it in the first service, and I mean no bad about this. Don't email me, okay? But there was a movie, I don't remember how many years ago it was. I don't even remember who it was. But I do remember he was a newsman or something, and he was on a second floor of an office, and he opens up the window. All these people are down below, and he says this. He says, I'm mad as hell. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. And then he just kept doing it over and over and over. And that is what needs to happen in the church today. I have a righteous anger. I know who I am, and I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm going to be a part of a revolution, and I'm going to correct these things and make a change in my life. Amen? And that is exactly what is needed right this moment. Listen to me, if you don't get into the revolution, you won't have any rights left. None. You know Abby Hoffman? Some of you, if you're old as Mario here, you'll remember. Back in the 60s, you know, and so forth, remember he was the author of the Flower Power Movement, part of the Chicago Seven, if you remember that. He was the one who, the big protester against the Vietnam War. But Abby Hoffman, he died of suicide, by the way, killed himself, a bunch of pills. But he did say something very important. He said this, the only way to support a revolution is to make your own, or to make it your own. Loved one, listen, I'm going to tell you, are you looking at that scripture right now? The one in Matthew 11, verse 12, from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, is violently treated. But watch this. And the violent, what do? Say it again. Oh, I can't hear you. Come on. Take it. Amen. They take it. How did they do it? Well, it says by force. Oh, there's a lot of interpretations you can probably get if you go read expositors and great men of God too. Let me give you a couple of translations. The New Living Translation, which I don't prefer this one at all. I think it's wrong. The kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing and violent people attack it. Well, that is true. But see, you can change a noun and a verb in the Greek and not know which one belongs. Does that make sense? But let's look at the Moffat translation. They're pressing into the realm of heaven. Now listen, these eager souls are storming it. Williams, I love this one. Williams' translation. Until this moment, the kingdom of heaven has been continuously taken by storm. And those who take it by storm are seizing it as a precious prize. Oh, what a great word. Let me give you one more from Vincent's Greek Word Studies of the New Testament, where he says the word take by force means literally to snatch away, to carry off like plunder. Meyer renders it this way. Those who use violence efforts, oh, they drag it over to themselves, speaking of the kingdom of God. Tyndale puts it this way. They make violence. They pull it unto them. Spiritual violence, not fist. Do you understand? He says, oh, Christ speaks of these believers. Listen to me. They seize upon the kingdom and they make it their own. What a glorious word. That is a revolution. Jesus said, he who hath ears to hear, let them hear. What kind of revolution are we talking about? It's where we rise up and take back what belongs to us, the kingdom of God. Amen? The kingdom of God, and make it our own because it is ours. Let me give you the scripture to prove it. Everything I'm saying, I prove by scripture. Everything, that's why I said, judge me. Judge what I'm saying. It says, Jesus said in Luke 12, 31, oh, but seek the kingdom of God. Matthew's gospel says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. We're part of the kingdom. He says, oh, seek the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Listen to what Jesus said now. Do not fear, little flock. We're the sheep of his pasture. Amen. He says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And here's the problem. The church, are we really seeking what belongs to us? He's given it to us. Are you seeking the kingdom that's yours? Listen, I'm going to tell you, the church that revolves around Jesus is a revolutionary church. I mean, where everything we do and where we're going, it revolves around Jesus. Has God given us the power to accomplish anything we need to do for him? Acts chapter 1, verse 8, yes. But the problem is so many people in the church, they don't believe the power is available, or they don't know what the power is, or they don't know that that power comes from the divine helper of the church, the Holy Spirit, and they don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. It's prevalent today. William Booth said this, I consider the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Hell. Loved one, listen to me. Take it. It's time for you. You are a believer. You are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Amen. You have to stand up right now in this season. And the season is 2022 to 2024, okay? You have to stand up, and you know what? You have to take your rights back as a child of the living God. You belong to his kingdom. You're citizens of heaven. You have all the rights of citizenship of heaven. Do you understand? Amen. Oh, you have to take back your prayer time because you've given it up. What's stolen your prayer time? Come on. The church, are you really praying? You think, Bill, you're being mean. I love you. Amen. This is revolutionary. Amen. The throne of grace, we have access. We just, I don't know. Do you pray? Well, kind of. What's wrong? You don't get it. You're not part of the revolution. Listen, don't you steal my prayer time. You're my enemy if you try to steal my prayer time. Are you listening? You're TV, Netflix, whatever. No, man, you take back your prayer time. You know, and listen, I thought we were the light of the world, but we're not. We hid our light. Look at the church in America. Our light is so covered up in a basket. No one can see it. And what good is light if it doesn't shine? What good is salt if we're the salt of the earth? What good is salt if it's not salty, if it's lost its flavor? Jesus put it this way. In Luke 14:34, salt is good. But if it's lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? Well, you can't. It's good for nothing. Matter of fact, Matthew 5:13, Jesus, you're the salt of the earth, but the salt loses its flavor. If we're no longer salty, okay? He says, how shall it be seasoned? Listen to what Jesus just said, is going to say. He says, well, it is then good for nothing. It is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. What good is salt, Jesus said, if it isn't salty? What good is a Christian who will not obey the Lord? What good is a Christian who will not take up the cross, deny himself, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? What good are they? They're no good at all. Oh, Bill, they're no good at all. Why? Because they have failed in doing the only thing they were created to do in the new birth. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Are you following me? Oh, listen, man, listen. You know, Jesus said this, if we don't do those things, let me tell you what he says about it. He says, you know what? It's neither fit for land. It's not fit for the dunghill. It's not fit for men. Men just throw it out. And then he says, he who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said, God has no use for it. Man has no use for it. The world has no use for it. They failed. They failed to do what they were created for. Oh, loved one, listen, it's time to believe. It's time to take back what belongs to you in Christ Jesus. And the violent, take it, not with our fist, but by obedience. You're violent when you obey. Did you hear me? You see, the moment that you are obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, you are pushing darkness out of your way. Amen. Do you understand? You just start pushing. You walk in, and I walk in obedience, and all of a sudden, they can't stop you. No one can stop you. You're doing exactly what the Lord said. You've got to take it back. Some of you need to take your minds back because you've lost your minds. You need a mental revolution. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. The Bible says in Philippians 2:5, a command, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Some of your homes need a revolution because they're a mess. I mean a revolution. I'm talking about where everything is changed. You need a revolution in your marriage and in your children where they no longer tell you what to do. You tell them what to do. And where you teach them the Word of God. You teach them to pray. You make sure that they're in church. You do what God has told you to do. That, loved one, is a revolution to do that. And men, you need to take back your masculinity. And women, you need to take back your femininity. Do you understand? We're different. We don't look the same. Oh, God, listen to me. You know, some of you need to take back your life because you're miserable. You need to say, you know what? I don't need to be miserable anymore because Jesus overcome this world and I'm in him. And the Bible says, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is a son of God? Amen. You've overcome. That's your victory. That's the victory of your faith, the Bible says. Some of you need to start believing and take back what rightfully belongs for you, what Jesus paid for. The Bible says that blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in the heavenlies and through Christ Jesus our Lord. You have been pronounced blessed by God. Do you understand? Every blessing, there's not any more blessings left. God says, I already gave them all to you. Why aren't you appropriating what God has done for you by faith? Amen. That's a revolution. I'm not standing for it anymore. God said this. He said he'd answer my prayer. He's going to say yes. He's going to say no. He's going to say wait. But by golly, I'm going to pray. Amen. We have to be taking it back. I'm sick of it. Aren't you sick of it? Aren't you sick of this world that we live in? Listen, I am tired of it. Listen, you want revolution? Here it comes. Jesus said in Luke 14:26, he said this, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, brothers and sisters, his own life, he can't be my disciple. He cannot be my disciple. Now people go, well, okay, I'm going to hate my wife now. Is that what Jesus just said? No, because that would be breaking two commands, wouldn't it? First of all, you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church, gave himself for it. So we know that's not what Jesus is talking about. It would also mean that you would break the fifth commandment, honor thy mother and thy father. Okay, so what is Jesus saying? He's saying this, yeah, there's your family. I know you love them. But if you love them more than you love me, you cannot be my disciple. I need to be number one in your life. Number one. They are not number one. Yes. And you know how to make them be the best, care for them the best? You make him number one. That's the only way. That's what Jesus said. Loved one, that's revolutionary. Jesus said, Luke 14:27, whoever does not bear his own cross, come after me. You can't be my disciple. Luke 14:33, likewise, whoever you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, if you want to follow me, if you want to call me Lord, if you want to call me King, if you want to call me Savior, he says, deny yourself. That word means to disown yourself. It means you're no longer boss. It means that he's the boss. It means that he calls the shots, not you. It means that your calendar is now his calendar. He says, you disown yourself. You want to come with me, you disown yourself. You take up your cross daily, and then you follow me wherever I tell you to go. That's revolutionary. I am a revolutionary, and I want to do exactly what he says. I want you to listen now. Jesus said, you cannot. But wait a minute. You can. All you have to do is obey what Jesus just said. And you know what that makes you? It makes you a revolutionary. Does that make sense? To where Jesus said it, that settles it. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to murmur. I'm going to say, Lord, that's your word. It's holy. It's perfect. It's true. You love me so much. You died for me. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be a revolutionary for Jesus Christ. Now listen, Billy Sunday, one of the great evangelists, he said this. He was preaching and he said, oh, the rivers of America will run with blood filled to their banks before we will submit to them taking the Bible out of our schools. Did they? Did the rivers run with blood? No. Oh, everybody, I've been around long enough, they've redefined marriage. Oh my God. Well, what do we do about it? Nothing. We let the world, we let our government pass laws. We just, okay, well, we prayed, some of us. No. They redefined the oldest institution in the world that God created. Did we do anything about that? Did we stop abortion? No, we haven't done that. What have we stopped? Nothing. And you know why? Because the church is no longer revolutionary. Man, when we become revolutionary, when we take God's word and say, he said it, we're going to pray. We're going to have mass prayer. We're going to pray. We're going to believe. We're going to obey. And when we all obey, then that darkness has to bow to us and move out of our way. Amen. Listen, that's what's so important. Listen, our nation, and I've lived long enough and I know what I'm talking about. Our nation is like an open wound. It's oozing. It's infected. It's sickening. Our nation is a sewer. And there's only one cure. His name is Jesus Christ. And the old America that we used to know, it's no longer, because there's no more moral absolutes in our country anymore. America is so divided. Democrats are divided. The socialists are divided. The Republicans are divided. They don't even know what to do anymore. Look at our government, 245 years old, and the weight of all their mistakes because they walked out on God. Look what's happened. It's weighing them down. Do you understand that? Can you not see that today? We have a nation that is filled with hate, renaming a school, renaming a street, tearing down this statue. That will never change the heart of a person. That's the only way. That's the only cure for racism. And racism, a wicked, demonic sin. Aren't you glad that whatever color you might be, loved one, we are one in the Lord. We are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise God. We're a brand new family. We're the most important family on this planet. We're the most powerful family on this planet if we'll just do what God tells us to do. And oh, it's not even safe to get on a plane. Look, last year, nearly 6,000 assaults on the airlines. You know what I mean? Isn't that insane? Remember when they used to serve you China, the plates and steak? No. Listen, America's not united. We've never been this divided. And look at us. Look at the church. Oh, COVID comes in and look what happens. Oh, politics, division, hate among brothers and sisters over masks and over vaccines. Instead of uniting as one, oh, they let the devil walk right in. And look at our nation now. Marriage is gone, and little boys can choose to become little girls, and little girls can choose to become little boys. Oh, listen to what this one man said about that, Hunter Schaefer. He said, we are on the forefront of a revolution in which identity and expression will take priority over the labels assigned to us at birth, in which self-identification will take priority over perception, in which gender will fall away entirely. He says, take priority over perception. Boy, there it is, the church. We must have a revolution of true perception. We must be as the sons of Issachar. You remember what David's men, it says that, oh, they had all kinds of understanding. They were able to discern the times, and it says they knew what to do. Do we know what to do today? I'm going to tell you something, loved one. If we don't have a revolution in our country, in this church as well, I want you to listen to me now. Perception. If you don't truly understand the culture that you're living in right now, if you don't understand it, you will become a slave to it. Do you understand? That's exactly where we are. And you know what? How many have become a slave to this world, conformed to this world, live like this world, act like this world, talk like this world, and they're believers? Oh no, it's time. We've entered a brand new season, a brand new time. 2022 to 2024. If you don't join the revolution, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when the American dream becomes the American nightmare? What are you going to do when all of a sudden you see what the norm in your life, what's left of it, when you see it falling apart? Are you going to fall apart with it? The Bible says we belong to an unshakable kingdom. But are you a part of it? Are you really a part of it? Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, forever. Oh, listen to me. And listen to what I'm about to tell you. This you have to judge for yourselves. For me, what I'm about to tell you, I believe, is coming. But you'll have to pray that through yourself. And that's this. We must join the revolution of Jesus Christ. But my question as I'm closing now is this. Is the nation that we love, that most of us, we fought for, is it heading for revolution? In 4 days, January 6th, will mark 1 year at the insurrection at the Capitol. As I watched that happen, as you did probably as well, I went into my study and I opened my journal and I wrote this. I said, today is the saddest day in my life since 9/11. Unbelievable. The Washington Post, January 1st, yesterday. Listen carefully. A new study says that we are closer to civil war than any of us would like to believe. Barbara F. Walter, incredible woman, by the way, who is a political science professor at the University of California, San Diego, and serves as the CIA advisory panel called the Political Instability Task Force that monitors countries around the world and predicts which of them are most at risk to deteriorate into violence. She said, she spent her entire career studying conflicts in Syria, Lebanon, Northern Ireland, Sri Lanka, the Philippines, Rwanda, Angola, Nicaragua, and elsewhere. And she applied, along with the CIA, the predictive techniques herself to America. Here's her bottom line. We are closer to civil war than any of us would like to believe. And no one wants to believe that their beloved democracy is in decline or headed toward war. But if you were an analyst in a foreign country looking at the events in America the same way you would look at the events in the Ukraine or the Ivory Coast or Venezuela, you would go down that checklist and you would assess each of the conditions that make for a civil war And what you would find is that the United States of America, a democracy founded more than two centuries ago, has now entered dangerous territory. The United States, listen now, according to the CIA and their studies, the United States no longer technically even qualifies as a democracy. Think of that. We are no longer the world's oldest continuous democracy, she said. That honor is now held by Switzerland and followed by New Zealand and then Canada. She says, we're no longer a peer to the nations like Canada, Costa Rica, and Japan, which are all rated 10 on the index. That's the highest you can be for a democracy. She said, we're below 5. The last day of the year, December 31st, NPR. Three retired generals write and go on and are interviewed, and then they do an op-ed in the Washington Post. I don't have time to tell you all they said, but here's one quote. He said this, we are chilled to our bones at the thought of a coup succeeding next time. These are generals, three generals that are now retired. That great guy, I love old Tony Evans, Dr. Tony Evans over in Oak Cliff. You know what Tony said the day that the Capitol, the riots happened? Let me read it to you. Today's political violence was a tragic illustration of what happens to a nation when it abandons God, when it abandons God's principles and God's policies. America is undergoing the passive wrath of God, which takes place when his standards are compromised. And the result is chaos and conflict, lawlessness. Listen carefully. Only, Tony says, a radical return to God. Now let me use my words. Only a revolution. Only a revolution, a return to God. Remember the Latin, what does it mean? To turn around, okay? Only, he says, only a radical return to God by his people will change this. The answer to changing America is no longer the White House. It is God's house. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is for Israel, but it's also for anyone who is God's people. He says, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, if they'll pray, if they'll seek my face, if they will turn from their wicked ways, here's a promise. God says, then I will hear from heaven. Isn't that wonderful? I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. You have a decision to make. If you cannot be part of a true, I gave you all those scriptures. Those scriptures are not, do you understand? That's the Lord. Amen. You have a decision. Next week, the Lord willing, next Sunday, I'll lay it out in clear detail. But I'm telling you, you have a decision to make in your life. You can take back what God has purchased for you. Amen. But you can't take it back if you're going to be a sissy. Yes. You know what I mean? Yes. You can't take it back if you're going to be a lazy Christian. You can't take it back if you're going to be a disobedient believer. The violent, those who love the Lord Jesus, take it by force and make it their prize and say, I am part of the kingdom of God. And that's the kingdom that I belong to. You have a decision. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm not going to close this out with song. Matter of fact, I'm going to go to my office so I can blow my nose. We're going to lower the screen. You're going to watch a video. And then when the video is over, it's very short, you're dismissed. Here's the deal. You today have a decision to make. We're in 2022 now. We're in a new season.